Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, First Class, April 7, 2024, Romans.
All right, before we get started, there's only one game left to play in March Madness. But the bottom is all settled. The winner of the pink hat, it's a beautiful hat, by the way. It just says loser on the front, that's all. There were 28 entries. The bottom three, I think they ought to take turns wearing that. Myth Thu won the whole thing. Congratulations. E. Miley finished next to last. Congratulations to you. But the next one, 26 out of 28, was Gary Brown. I would like all of you, after class, Gary Brown will wear this and you can take pictures of him with this hat on. So that's settled. And where am I? Well, 26, 25, 24, 33. I'm 22, so I'll even put it on if you want to take a picture of me. It's a tie right now for first. Sherry Bingham and Tim and Dar are tied, but they won't stay tied. They have different teams winning the whole thing, so they won't stay tied. Clay is next, 4 points behind. Ryan Abbott's next, 6 points behind, and you get 15 points in the championship game. And they're both number one seeds, so it'll be 15 points. Oh, excuse me, I was wrong. It wasn't Ryan. This guy came on like Silky Sullivan. Thing is, most of you don't even know what Silky Sullivan was. Charlie Flood. You're in fourth place right now. You have come on like Silky Sullivan. You remember Silky Sullivan? The horse. I thought you rode him. No. Charlie's in fourth. Ryan's in fifth. And El Beardo, who's not here, Chris Levchek, he's next. And then my brother, and then Debbie. And Bobby Blair, you're down there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Number 11. You won't win anything being 11. That's where you are. So one more game for determine how it goes on the winnings. First place gets $5 million. Second place, $3 million. Third place, $1 million. I'll write the checks. So we'll take care of that on Tuesday night. All right. Okay. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 7. We're back into Romans chapter 7. We'll be in verse 4. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this morning is a demonstration of who and what you are. And we thank you, sir, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, our class this morning in Romans chapter 7, verse 4, I have an introduction to this. Perfect introduction. I have mentioned James Myers several times, and he has the James F. Myers Ministries, sharing the Word of God with the people of the Ukraine. And he sent out an update. This is the perfect introduction to Romans 7, verse 4. What a great time to be alive. God has put us in this position in world history for His own purposes. In a time of uncertainty, chaos, immorality, the Lord has entrusted to us the tremendous privilege of representing Him in the devil's world. While this may be difficult, it is not impossible, for He has provided all things necessary for life and godliness. Don't give up. Keep on keeping on. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Galatians 6, verse 9. Phyllis and I have, that Phyllis is his wife, have been so blessed to have continuing opportunities to serve the Lord, even though we are in our 80s. That's right, 80s. People often comment, "We don't know how you do it." Or, "Where do you get the energy to keep doing so much?" It's all the grace of God. The Lord has been merciful and has given us the health and the strength to carry out His work. We have heard people say, "I couldn't do what you do." My reply is that God didn't ask you to do what I do. He gives us a task. He gives you a task. He gives grace to both. What is required of stewards is that we be found faithful. In March, we were in Brazil for 3 weeks, teaching in 3 different cities, sometimes as much as 5 hours per day. The response to the word was enthusiastic, And we had a wonderful time greeting new people and meeting with longtime friends. We already have several invitations to return. Then on Wednesday, I will leave for Africa on a 3-week journey of Bible teaching in Zambia. I love going to Zambia. I have been there more than 24 times because the desire for Bible teaching is so great. We often teach 5 to 6 hours per day and the people are focused on learning. Please pray for protection, health, and strength for us as Mark, Cam, and I will be traveling and teaching aspects of Christology, the crucifixion, death, burial, ascension, and session of Jesus Christ. When I return to the United States, I will have about a week to get ready for the next course. We will be going to Poland and Romania with Dr. Robbie Dean and his wife, Pam. Robbie and I will be team teaching conferences in those two countries. And then after that, Phyllis and I will be going into the Ukraine for a couple of weeks, assuming that the war does not preclude us from doing so. We have plans to be teaching in different places, and it is our hope that we will be able to gather many of our loved ones together for a grand reunion. Many have been scattered because of the war, but it may be possible to bring them together for a few days. In August, we will go all the way to French Polynesia in the South Pacific to work with missionary Mark Perkins and his wife, Renee. We had been asked to go to the Philippines after that, but we just couldn't make our schedule fit there. So that trip is on hold until later in the year. I know this sounds like a vigorous schedule, and it is, but it is what the Lord has given us to do. So we just get up in the morning and go to work. We praise the Lord for His abundant provision that enables us. And we thank you for the huge role that you play in making it possible for us to carry on. We are grateful for your prayers. And I've mentioned to you several times from this pulpit about Jim Myers and his ministry in the Ukraine. And it's a miracle that nation is still there, having had war come to them from Russia and Putin. They're still there. And that is the grace and power of God. There is a pivot of mature believers in the Ukraine, thanks to Jim Myers and the ministry he has had there for so long. We thank you for the huge role you play in making it possible for us to carry on. We are grateful for your prayers. We do not take that lightly. We know that the Lord hears and answers prayer. And we also give thanks for all of you who have supported us through giving. We give thanks to the Father, who has so abundantly supplied our needs through you. By grace alone, Jim. So here is a couple in their 80s. And they are nonstop going all around the world teaching the grace and truth of the Word of God. That's the perfect introduction of what we have in Romans chapter 7, verse 4. Now in Romans chapter 7, we haven't been here for a couple of weeks. We'll read you into the picture. In Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul illustrates by analogy what he taught in Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, the emphasis was placed on the baptism of the Spirit, unique to this dispensation, the church age, made up of two parts: retroactive positional truth, identification with Christ in his death and burial, and current positional truth, identification with Christ in his resurrection, ascension, and session, being in union with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. Now in Romans chapter 7, Paul is going to illustrate this through the battle of the two husbands. The first marriage goes from physical birth to salvation, faith in Christ. The husband is the sin nature, the wife is the unbeliever, the marriage counselor is the Mosaic law. The second marriage goes from spiritual birth, salvation, on forever. The husband is the Lord Jesus Christ, the wife is the believer, the marriage counselor is God the Holy Spirit. So the Apostle Paul is illustrating what he taught in Romans chapter 6, the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive and current positional truth, which occurs at the moment of salvation, faith in Jesus Christ. Through retroactive and current positional truth, the believer is identified with Christ in his death and burial and his resurrection. So it is actually the wife, the believer, who dies or divorces the first husband, the sin nature, at the moment of her faith in Christ. Through retroactive positional truth. So the sin nature, the first husband, the husband of the unbeliever, has not actually died. Rather, this is legitimate divorce. While the wife, the believer, dies to the first husband, the sin nature, by divorcing him at salvation, that moment of faith in Jesus Christ, the first husband, the sin nature, is not dead. He's still very much alive, living in the body of the believer. And therefore, the sin nature is constantly sending temptations to the wife, the believer, trying to seduce the wife back to the first marriage. The sin nature, the first husband, will do everything possible to try to win the wife back and be the authority in her life. This is why the wife, the believer, must place herself under the authority of her second husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul taught in Romans 6, verse 13, which says, "And stop placing your members under authority." Remember, the word was paristeme. Stop placing your members under authority to the sin nature as weapons of unrighteousness. But put yourself under orders, under the authority of the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ, as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as weapons of righteousness to God, Romans 6:13. That is, she must live the spiritual life of the church age and grow up in grace orientation and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we exegeted just part of verse 4. Verse 4 starts out, "Therefore, my brethren, royal family of God, you were also made to die," with reference to the Mosaic law, the marriage counselor of the first marriage. And that word to die was thanatao. Looks like that in the Greek, thanatao, long O, thanatao. Literally, thanatao means to put to death, to kill someone, or to hand someone over to be killed. Thanatao was especially used of the death sentence given to an individual and its execution. Figuratively, thanatao refers to the baptism of the Spirit. At that moment of salvation, faith in Christ, and retroactive positional truth. Retroactive positional truth is salvation not only divorces the believer from the first husband, the sin nature, but at the same time divorces the believer from the Mosaic law as the marriage counselor of the first marriage. So we have in verse 4, "Therefore, my brethren, royal family, you also were made to die," with reference to the Mosaic law, the marriage counselor of the first marriage, "by means of the body of Christ." Now that phrase, "by means of the body of Christ," refers to Jesus Christ on the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ is the unique person of the universe. Undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever. He was always the eternal Son of God. There never was a time when he was not the eternal Son of God. But he was the anointed one that God the Father appointed to be the Messiah to carry out his salvation plan for mankind. God the Father loved the world so much that he gave his uniquely born Son. He gave his eternal Son from heaven to earth on that very first Christmas, the greatest miracle the world will ever know, so that the eternal Son of God could take on true humanity. He had to take on true humanity because His mission, the incarnation plan of the Father for the Son, was to go to a cross. Deity can't die. So the Son of God had to become true humanity to go to the cross. And then God the Father gathered up the sins of the whole world, poured them out on Christ, and then he judged them in Jesus Christ once and for all. Having done that, God is now free to offer to anyone, any place, anywhere, who simply believes in Jesus Christ, the gift of eternal life. So that phrase, "by means of the body of Christ," refers to Christ on the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ is the unique person of the universe. He is undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever. The Lord Jesus Christ was always the eternal Son of God. But deity can't die. And therefore the eternal Son of God had to take on true humanity in order to go to the cross and solve mankind's problem of sin. And this was accomplished on that very first Christmas through the incarnation and virgin birth. It was the true humanity of Christ, the Messiah, hanging on the cross. The human body of Christ received the judicial imputation of the sins of the whole world and the subsequent judgment of those sins 1 Peter 2:24. Retroactive positional truth not only results in divorce from the sin nature, the first husband, but at the same time makes the believer dead to the marriage counselor of the first marriage, the Mosaic Law. Since the sin nature and the Mosaic Law are still alive and operating, it is obvious that death here refers to legitimate divorce. Retroactive positional truth not only divorces the believer from the sin nature, the first husband, but at the same time divorces the believer from the Mosaic Law as the marriage counselor. So we have, therefore, my brethren, royal family, you also were made to die with reference to the Mosaic Law by means of the body of Christ. And this is where we stopped 3 weeks ago now. We'll pick it up. That ye should be married to another. That ye should be married to another. This is the eisto plus the infinitive. Eisto plus the aorist middle infinitive of the verb genomai, plus the accusative plural of the personal pronoun sou, plus the dative singular of heteros. Eisto plus the infinitive. Now, for those of you who are consistent, you know what? That looks the same in English and in Greek. Don't you like that? There's Greek. See, Greek is easy. Not really, but anyway. Eisto plus the infinitive. Now, that's very important. If you've been here consistently, you've heard this many times. It introduces a result clause. Eisto plus the infinitive introduces a result clause. And it's the infinitive of the verb genomai, which we have had previously. G-I-N-O-M-A-I. Genomai. And this is the same verb we had back in verse 3. Though she belongs to, genomai, is married to another man. That is the Lord Jesus Christ by analogy. So a couple of things. One, the Greek lexicon, Arndt and Gingrich, page 159, says genomai in our verse means to belong to someone, to become intimate with someone. Intimacy specifically in marriage. And therefore, it is a verb that's used to, it means to be married. So it means to belong to someone, to become intimate with someone, intimacy in marriage, and therefore to be married. The accusative plural of the personal pronoun sou is the accusative of general reference. Now, the accusative of general reference serves as the subject of the infinitive. Sue is you, y'all, church-age believer, royal family of God. Two, at salvation, at that moment of faith in Jesus Christ, faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, at salvation, faith in Christ, all church-age believers belong to, that is, are married to, the second husband, you're married to the Lord Jesus Christ. Through the baptism of the Spirit, current positional truth, you are identified with Christ in his resurrection, ascension, and session. You are placed in union with Jesus Christ. You are in union with the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. And you are royal family of God. And Jesus Christ is your authority, the new husband, the second husband. Three, legally, the wife, the believer, is free from the first husband, the sin nature, through the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive positional truth, identification with Christ and his death and burial. So legally, the wife, the believer in Jesus Christ, is free from the first husband, the sin nature, through the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive positional truth. Am I going too fast? No? Okay. Four. After salvation, faith in Christ, she now ginomize, she now belongs to her second husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. She is now married to the Lord Jesus Christ, current positional truth. So after salvation, faith in Christ, she now ginomize, she belongs to her second husband, Jesus Christ. She is now married to the Lord Jesus Christ, current positional truth. And then we have heteros. H-E-T-E-R-O-S. Heteros. And heteros means another of a different kind, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, you talk about totally different. The first husband's a sin nature. The second husband's the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't get any more different. The Lord Jesus Christ is totally different from the first husband, the sin nature. The dative case of heteros is the dative of possession. The believer now belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, her second husband. The aorist tense, once again, is the culminative aorist. If you emphasize the beginning of an action, that's the ingressive aorist. If you emphasize the end, that's the culminative aorist. If you emphasize the whole process, that's the consonative aorist. We have the culminative aorist here. So the aorist tense, once again, is the culminative aorist. The culminative salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, is that now the believer is married to the second husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, and she belongs to him. Ginomai, she belongs to him. The middle voice is deponent, middle in form, but active in meaning. The infinitive goes along with aistha, plus with aistha to introduce this result clause. So the corrected translation, therefore, my brethren, royal family, you also were made to die with reference to the Mosaic law, the marriage counsel of the first marriage, by means of the body of Christ, with the result that you might belong to, be married to another kind of a different kind, another of a different kind, the Lord Jesus Christ. By means of the body of Christ, with the result that you might belong to, be married to another of a different kind, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says, even to him who is raised from the dead. This is the articular aorist passive participle of agero plus the prepositional phrase ek plus the genitive plural of nekros. Agero. E-G-E-I-R, long O, agero. Just a couple of things on this verb agero. Literally, point one, literally it means to wake up or to rouse. Two, figuratively, agero means to raise up or to bring into being. Figuratively, it means to raise up or to bring into being. Three, In the passive voice, which is what we have, it means to receive the action of being raised or resurrected. For egeiro is a verb that teaches resurrection. And here it is referring to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Good time to be teaching this. We just celebrated Easter. The preposition ek looks like that in the Greek and English. Ek means out from. We always had it in Greek class, we had a preposition box. And ek was presented that way, out from. Out from, and then we have the plural of nekros, N-E-K-R-O-S, nekros. Now, nekros is an adjective that means dead. But when you have this with the definite article, when you add a definite article to an adjective, and here it's in the dative, you have, then you have an adjective becomes a noun, a substantive. So as a substantive, which is what we have, it means the dead ones, the dead ones. The aorist tense of egeiro at this time is a constative aorist, viewing the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in its entirety. The passive voice is the voice of grace. The Lord Jesus Christ received the action of being resurrected. He was resurrected by the omnipotence of God the Father, sending his Spirit from heaven back into his body, and by the omnipotence of God the Holy Spirit sending his soul from Sheol, that's the Hebrew word, Greek is Hades, back from Hades into his body. And the articular participle is substantival, functioning as a noun. So to the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was raised up from the dead ones. That's how you translate that. To the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was raised up from the dead ones. And now, the next phrase of verse 4, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. And as I'm going through this, and then Jim Myers, what he states here is he has totally fulfilled what God has required in his word, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Here is a guy in his 80s. And he and his wife continue to teach the word of God. They go all over the world. His ministry, primary ministry, started out in the Ukraine. And he was forced to evacuate. And his home quarters are in Houston. But he continues to go all over the world teaching the word of God, bringing forth fruit unto God. Maximum production, divine good production in his life. to God, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. And this is hina plus the aorist active subjunctive of carpo phoreo plus the dative singular of theos with the definite article. Hina, this time, the other was eshta plus the infinitive. Now we have hina plus the subjunctive. You go, yeah, I know that one. H-I-N-A. Hina plus the subjunctive. And that introduces a purpose clause. The purpose of our marriage to the Lord Jesus Christ is found in this verb. And the verb is carpo phoreo. That's K-A-R-P-O-P-H. O-R-E, long O, carpo phoreo. Well, this is the main objective of this verse. And I'm going to let you take a break. Go get a little nourishment out there. Come back and be ready to study this last phrase of verse 4. That we should bring forth fruit unto God. All right?